we're talking about a topic tonight which takes us in many ways through a lot of Sefer Bamidbar, and hopefully can talk about an incredibly important topic in the world of Chumash, and it relates to ideas in Machshava and Kabbalah and Stam Parshanut. Let's try to do a little bit of a good job with it. Rashi points out in Parshat Baloscha in Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, it's from a Gemara Masechet Pesachim that we learn it's explicit in Chumash, the Torah is not written in chronological order. Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar BaTorah. The Torah begins Sefer Bamidbar in the second year after Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, in the second month, in the month of Iyar. Yet, here in Parshat Baloscha, we're dealing with it's Nisan, it's before, it's out of order. Beginning of Bamidbar is the second month of the year. Now in Baloscha, it's the first month of the year. Says Rashi, we learn from here, Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar BaTorah, it's Megmar Pesachim. We learn that the Torah is not in chronological order. That is something which some suggest is true for a lot of the parshios in Sefer Bamidbar. Rav Eliyahu Mizrachi, in the beginning of Parsha Shlach, the Re'eim in Parsha Shlach, suggests that at least according to some deyas in the Medrash, Parshas Korach, which we read after Parsha Shlach, after the Parsha of the Meraglim, that Parshas Korach really took place before the Parsha of the Meraglim. So a lot of the Torah doesn't seem to necessarily, or some of the Torah, doesn't seem to really be in chronological order, which raises a question. I mean, I read me like this in high school, always said this, that whenever you invoke in Mukta Murchav HaTorah, that's not an answer, that's often just leading you to a question, which is, why? Why is the Torah written out of order? Why is it not completely in chronological order? So there's a lot of different answers. It's Fasemis and Parshas Naso. There's a lot of things to talk about. We'll try to mention three ideas fairly quickly, one from a Medrash, one from Sifrei Chassidus, and one to understand what Rashi really holds and how to connect Rashi in a very meaningful way to our Parsha, to Baloscha. The Medrash says, because had the Torah been written in order, a person who learned Torah, says the Medrash, would be powerful enough, call me that read, anyone that read the Torah, would be powerful enough to mechay and mesim velasos mofsim. That the Torah, had it been written in chronological order, would be such a powerful work. The Torah would have been just so great that anyone that would have read it would have been given these like incredible kohos to revive the dead and to perform miracles. If you work off of that medrash, so you're really not going to ask questions about why it's out of order in any particular context. Why is Korach before after Shlach? Or why is Baloscha before Bamidbar? It's not really a question. It couldn't be in chronological order, at least one way of looking at it, because it really is something which the Torah had to be divorced. You may ask, well, why dafka these cases? But in general, it couldn't be in that order. The Or HaMeir, third generation Chassidus, one of the great Talmidim of the Maggid of Mezrich. The Or HaMeir says, a different pshat, he says, who says the Torah is not in order? We look at it, and from our perspective, it's not in chronological order. But Lemaisa, the Ribbono Shel Olam, exists, Lemalam, in Hazman. From the perspective of God, there isn't really time the way that we relate to it. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Haya Hove V'Yihiyah. God exists lamala min hazman. To dig a little bit deeper, as the Shlach Kadosh has also, Torah predates the world in a certain sense. Istakla b'oraisa u'bara alma. There are elements of Torah that don't fit. Really, the deeper understandings of Torah, the deeper levels of Torah, don't necessarily fit into what we perceive as chronology. So it looks like, for us, the Torah is out of order, but says the Or HaMeir, if you have deep insight into what's really going on in Torah, if you were Zocha to understand the deeper insights in Torah, you would understand from the perspective of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is Lamala Me'azman, how this really is the right order, just we don't get it that much. Both those ideas are, I don't know what the right word is, a little bit funky maybe, I don't know, they're both not classically standard ideas. What does Rashi do? According to Rashi, what's the pshat? Why is the Torah sometimes out of order? So let me first point out that according to Rashi, Rashi's Pesach Chumash is very sensitive to this klal, and Rashi invokes in Mukta Murchar BaTorah, as many of us may know, far more often than the Ramban. The Ramban's only really comfortable invoking it when he has to. Rashi is much more liberal in his invoking of the concept, of the principle, of in Mukta Murchar BaTorah. Okay, so why does Rashi, according to Rashi, how does it work? So let me start by just making it one step a bit more relevant. The Re'eim points out, one of the great Mefarshei Rashi, there in the beginning of Parsha Shlach, that you ever notice this in Sefer Bamidbar in particular? Rashi a lot of the time asks about Smichus Parshios. Why is this Parsha next to this? Why is Nazir next to Sota? And why is the Parsha of Miriam next to the Miraglim? And why is the Tzitzis next to Kor? All these questions as far as why this is next to that Smichus Parshios questions. Some Rishonim ask those a lot, and some less so. The Ibn Ezra asks it, the academics point out about 150 times in his Parish and Chumash, and some quote it much, much less frequently. according to Rashi, so the Re'im suggests that when Rashi asks questions about Smichus Parshios, that's always when something is off a little bit. It shouldn't have been ordered the way it was. So Rashi asks, so why was it ordered that way? Often that's even a function of Ein Mukdam Merchav B'Torah, when there's a Parsha in Chumash, which is not in its chronological location. So Rashi will ask, so why is it there? What's the Smichus Parshios? That's the beginning of Parsha Shlach. When Rashi asks in the beginning of Parsha Shlach, what's the connection between the Miraglim and Miriam's Lashon Hara? What's bothering Rashi about Smichus Parshios? It's not the right order. Parshas Korach should have come in between. So Rashi often asks this question. Rashi assumes things should be in order, and whenever they're not in order, even if he doesn't explicitly say Ein Mukdam Merchav B'Torah, it's often a function of things not being in chronological order. So for Rashi, what determines it? For Rashi, it's not a bad Hatorah, but in order we would be able to do wondrous miracles and revive the dead. For Rashi, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lamala Mehazman, although I'm sure Rashi agrees that Ribono Shel Olam is Lamala Mehazman. According to Rashi, and it's so simple, it's often to teach us very simple, sweet, and inspiring ideas. It's often to give over nice messages. That the Torah will change the order from chronological order to give us good insight. So what does Rashi say in Parshas Baaloscha? How come we start Bamidbar with the second month, and now we're going, and Baaloscha we have a story that took place earlier? Says Rashi, because the Torah doesn't want to start Sefer Bamidbar speaking about the negative traits of Klal Yisrael. What's going on in Baaloscha is negative, because it records the Karban Pesach that Klal Yisrael brought in the second year after they left Mitzrayim. And says Rashi, that's the only Karban Pesach they brought until they got to Eretz Yisrael. So why did Kadosh Baruch Hu move it out of order? Not so we couldn't do cool tricks like revive the dead, and not because Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Malam Yazman, but to protect the dignity, to show Kadosh Baruch Hu's chiba, his love for Klal Yisrael. That's why it's done. And Rashi says similar insights in different places. They're to teach us important ideas and important insights. So Chumash is done in a chronological order, except when it's trying to teach us important insights and important ideas. That's chaz what we did, so we can just dig a little bit dafka and Parsha Baaloscha. We pointed out that we learned from this week's Parsha, but it's true in Parshas Korach, it's true in Parshas Shlach, Parshas Bamidbar, it's true maybe for Rashi in Parshas Truma, Tetzava, Kisisa, Yaakov, Pekudei. Torah's not given along chronological order. How come? Because if it was given chronological order, the Torah would be so powerful, we'd do really wild things with it. Or, because Baruch Hu is a Malam Yazman, there's a deeper level of Torah that is in order, just doesn't, to us, in our level, where we are, in our time, it doesn't seem to fit as much. Rashi says, no, Torah is always in order unless there's a reason, there's a lesson the Torah wants to teach us. What was the lesson in this week's Parsha? The lesson was that it says in Chumash that B'nai Yisrael offered the Karban Pesach in the second year. And we don't want to start Sefer Bamidbar with that, because that's the only Karban Pesach that B'nai Yisrael brought the whole time they were in the Midbar was in the second year. Ask the Mefarshim a very simple question. Rashi teaches us that Klal Yisrael was not chayev to bring Karban Pesach any of the other years. Only when they entered Eretz Yisrael were they chayev to bring Karban Pesach. So ask the Maharal a very simple question. According to Rashi, the Torah is out of order to show the chiba, to show the love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael, not to embarrass them. They didn't fulfill Karban Pesach all the years in the Midbar. But they weren't chayev to offer Karban Pesach all the years in the Midbar. Only when they entered Eretz Yisrael were they chayev to. The Ribono Shel Olam told them, bring it this year, the second year, they brought it. He never said to bring it the other years. So where is the lack of chiba? How come Klal Yisrael ends up looking bad as a result?
Clarity on that? Sure question?
Two answers. The Maharal says, Ein Hachinami. Klal Yisrael was not chayev. But, he's taking sides of Machlokes Achronim in the beginning of Ksubis. But, says the Maharal, whenever you don't do a mitzvah just because you weren't commanded, you still lost out on the mitzvah. It still says something's not so, something's off. If you ever couldn't do a mitzvah because you were anus, it was beyond my control, says the Maharal, I wasn't commanded in doing so. So it's true on one level, says the Maharal, and it gets a little more nuanced if you look inside. The Maharal, it's true on one level that they weren't commanded. But still, they lost out on the zchus of offering Karban Pesach. There's no reason why they brought the first 2 years, and they weren't commanded for 30. Okay, but they should have, says the Maharal, in fact, they didn't do it at all, still reflects poorly upon them. If there's ever a mitzvah which you can't do because it's beyond your control, you still lost out a little bit, says the Maharal. It's still not as ideal. The Baba Cherebi has an awesome ha'ara. Says the Baba Cherebi, the same kasha. What's wrong with Klal Yisrael? They were commanded in year 2, they brought it. They were only commanded again when they entered in Eretz Yisrael. Where's the lack of chiba? What did they do that was wrong? Says the Babbage Rebbe very, very beautifully, Klal Yisrael never asked to bring it the entire time that they were in the Midbar. They never asked to bring it. Had they wanted to, could be because Baruch Hu would have responded, here it is, you definitely can. We know with Pesach Sheni, because Baruch Hu likes it when we respond and we want to do mitzvos. The Gnai is that they only did it when they were commanded to do it. The Gnai is they only did it when there was a formal tzivoy. But says the Babbage Rebbe, if you really want to understand where you're supposed to be with mitzvos, it's like the Maharal idea, a tour of anus should not make you feel so good. For the Babbage Rebbe, even if you're putter, you should be proactive, searching for the opportunity to perform mitzvos in whatever way possible. That's what a person in many ways is supposed to be. Is supposed to be striving for. I'll just end with, says the Babbage Rebbe, how come Moshe and Aaron didn't ask? Moshe and Aaron are great. We're supposed to ask, why didn't Moshe and Aaron ask? So he says, and Moshe and Aaron asked, it would have looked even worse for Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were willing to sacrifice the schus of offering Karban Pesach to protect the dignity and the chiba of Klal Yisrael. Had Klal Yisrael asked, they were totally in on it. But if they weren't, Moshe and Aaron were not going to be the ones that were willing to go make Klal Yisrael look bad so they could be frummer. Because to make someone look bad, for you to be a little bit more religious at the Babbage Rebbe, that's not what this stuff is all about. Moshe and Aaron, that was called Mesiris Nefesh for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We spoke about really two things tonight. Number one, Ein Mukta Murcha Bar Torah in general. Is it because the Torah can't be written in chronological order? The Tshuvas HaRosh, I think, seems to assume that way also. But it could be because of a Mechai HaMesim kind of an idea. It could be because Kosh Baruch Hu Lami Azman. For Rashi, the Torah is generally speaking in order, except for when it's not. And when it's not, it's often to teach us important lessons. In this case, in Parsha Baloscha, what's the lesson? The lesson is that we don't want to start speaking badly about Klal Yisrael. We don't want to embarrass Klal Yisrael. What's so bad about Klal Yisrael? They weren't commanded to bring Karban Pesach. Says the Maharal, but they were putter. They were honest. And it's not so good when you're honest. You can't do it. Says the Babbage Rebbe, they never asked to be Mekayim Mitzvos. And when you never ask to be Mekayim Mitzvos, that reflects upon you a degree of genus. Shkayach, guys. Have a wonderful night.